Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
We'll continue with hearing the voice of God. What part is this? Part number six? All right. For those viewing from on the telecast, you can go back to our pages or the website and get the previous studies on the part on this particular subject, which is very important to every believer, very, very crucial to every believer. And so today we're going to continue in this discussion, and get it right, we're dealing with John chapter 10, verse 27. That's still our main text. We seem not to be able to get out of it so much at this moment, so we're going to continue with it. And so, the word says, "My sheep hear my voice and know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and know them, and they follow me." Very important. So who you follow depends on whose voice you're hearing. And that's very important. If you look at this, you'll be able to see that very critically. You are not walking in isolation. That will tell you something. You're not walking in isolation in life. You are not just, okay, I live my life the way I want it. No. It's very, very important you understand that the life you're living today is directly connected to the voice and the messages you're listening to. The direction you are taking, even in life, is directly connected to the voice you're listening to. And they come in from counseling, relationship association, friends, whatever the case may be. Amen. Even when you go to school to be educated, that's a voice you are listening to. You are being instructed on the way to live your life and how you can better your life. So the voice actually raises you to the place where you actualize what is supposed to be within you, or how that God has ordained your life to be. So you go through education, you are trained, and that's a voice. And then you begin to follow the direction that will be revealed to you by the education that you are receiving. Even so, in the church, which is also a spiritual platform of educating the saints, you hear voices as well. But the point is this: when it comes to the church, the voice you are supposed to hear is the voice of Christ. In other words, every message that is supposed to be coming out, either from the pulpit or whatever, must lead to Christ, point to Christ, and exhort Christ. So, in that context, you find that Christ begins to draw you to himself. You get more acquainted, you begin to know more of him, and right from that perspective, he begins to instruct you on the way to go, by way of living out the life that he has ordained for you. I repeat this, which is very strong. Every life you live in today is connected to a voice you've heard, or you are hearing, or you're going to hear. Praise God. Every voice, every life you're living is connected to a voice that you've heard, or you are hearing, or you are going to hear. Every life you're living. Whatever decision you are making today, radically is connected to a voice. It can either be the voice of the Father or other voices. But Jesus is instructing us here that we were born of God, we follow his voice. And so, like I keep saying, it's important for you to be able to determine what the voice of God is. If he's speaking, you'll be able to know this is God's voice, or this is my mind, or this is another man's voice, will become a stranger's voice. That which is not of God, it's a stranger's voice. Amen. Praise God. And so today I want to start dealing with a few things, like I said last week, that the benefit of hearing the voice of God. The benefit of hearing the voice of God. This is very, very crucial. I need you to get it. What we're about to be discussing. You know, like past 2 weeks I talked to you and the danger of not hearing God's voice or the problems associated with not hearing the voice of God. Remember that? One of them was that you become a slave. Slave don't hear the Father as such. Amen? Are you listening? And that's exactly what I told you. And there's a place where you assess when you start hearing the voice of God in God's dimension of operation, which has to do with what I call the third day. There's a place called the third day when you start hearing the voice of God. Only sons get there. You find out in Genesis 22, remember? When Abraham was going with his servant Eliezer to offer up Isaac, the Bible said when they got to a place on the third day, they saw the mountain afar of Mount Moriah. And what's the next thing that happened? Abraham told the servant to stay back, that he was going to go alone with his son. He has to go alone with his son to the place that is called the third day. Hallelujah. And Jesus said that as well in the book of Luke, I think 13:31, that go tell that fox. I mean, look. Talking about when he was told that Herod is about to kill him, so go tell that fox. Today, tomorrow, I do cure, I do healing. On the third day, I shall be perfected. Which speaks of his body. The third day speaks of the body when he said, I shall be perfected. Talking about his body, which has to do with the Christ. The Christ body, the church. The dimension of life that only the church, which is the sons of God, can experience. And that is where they can actually begin to hear the voice of God. You see, when Jesus was also going to pray in the mountain, the garden, right? He got the first people at the outskirts of the garden, took three with him to the middle, and he went alone. So, third dimension. The third day dimension. Now, there he could communicate with God what he was speaking with God or talking to God about. The response God was giving to him. The rest of the people were not listening or hearing because they were right at the escort of the garden, which I would say they were the outer courts. So there's a dimension you get into in God where actually you begin to hear his voice more frequently than it is now. And I call that the third dimension. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we're talking about the benefit of hearing the voice. So much depends on our ability to hear the voice of God, and it's very important. So much, even about our life, depends on our ability to hear the voice of God. If you look at the scripture, Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is all about seeing and hearing from God. Don't miss this point. Genesis to Revelation, these two factors are key to everything you can think about. Seeing and hearing. Seeing and hearing. Adam and Eve saw, they heard. Genesis to Revelation. And the book of Revelation, for instance, we remember John the Beloved stood on the mountain. The Bible says behind him he had a voice. And when he turned, he saw he who was standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks, which had to do with the church. Genesis to Revelation. Everything has to do with seeing and hearing. And I've explained this several literals, how powerful it is to see and then to hear. Praise God. So, the Bible, remember, is a prophetic book. It's not just another literature book that anybody can read and, you know, whatever. It's not a literature book. It's a prophetic book. So, what are the benefits of hearing the voice of God? Number one, it reveals our sonship. Hearing the voice of God reveals our sonship. And this is very, very important. So, go with me to Jeremiah 7. Look at verse 22. Let me see. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them on the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offering or sacrifices. I spoke not. You need to get that. Amen. Go ahead. But this thing commanded I them, saying, listen to this, obey my voice, and I will be your God. Check your echo, please. Your reverberation. And ye shall be my people, and walk ye all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Can I hear an amen to that? That it may be well with you. But I want you to see, hallelujah. I would like us to read back the verse 22. For I speak not, in other words, I didn't tell them, unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offering and sacrifices. I didn't give them religion. I didn't give them that. I only demanded that they do one thing. Listen to my voice. Did you see that? But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. Obey my voice, I will be your God. Not religion. Obey my voice, I'll be your God. Not the sacrifices, not the burnt offerings. Oh, come on. Obey my voice. Can you hear and see what he told, King Samuel? King Saul? Did that so much take delight in burnt offerings? Remember that? Have I not said, just obey my voice? I never commanded your fathers with regards burnt offering and sacrifice when I brought them out. I only told them, obey my voice, I will be your God. So in obeying the voice of God, you become a child of God. He reveals your sonship when you begin to obey God. Praise God. And ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded ye, that it may be well with you. Ye shall be my people. So he identifies you with God as your father. He reveals your sonship. When you start hearing God, you're having a personal relationship with God. You're having a personal relationship with God. 2 days ago, I got a song. So many things just make me, I couldn't go pick it up. But it was a song in Isoko language. I was singing this song and I sang it and I woke up. So I needed to walk to my wife to get the Isoko translation, you know, the hymn book. So many other things clouded me, I couldn't, but I think I'm still going to pick it up. When you start hearing God, when God starts speaking to you, He's revealing your relationship with Him. You will just know it, that you are not alone. Look at what Jesus said. I am not alone. The Father is with me always. Why? Because you can talk to the Father. You can hear His voice. Hallelujah. And then he will say, I do nothing except what I see the Father do. So like I told you before, hearing and seeing, these two are primary things as far as the word of God is concerned, the life of God is concerned, our walk with God is concerned. Hearing and seeing. Jesus will say, I do nothing except what I see the Father do. He said, as I hear, that is what I do. He will see, he will hear. Hallelujah. And so here he's saying, I never commanded them about sacrifices, religious activities. What I ask them to do is just listen to me. And then I'll be your Father, be your God. So hearing the voice of God reveals your true sonship. And that is why you begin to see it. That's the mighty Lord keep saying, when you pray, say, Our Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 24. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walk in the counsels and imagination of your evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Ooh, hallelujah. So when you don't hear his voice, you're going to be moving backward. You're going to be stagnated. Instead of moving forward, they went backward. What does that supposed to mean? They were still proceeding to Canaan, but they were not actually going to accept to Canaan. They were going backward in their mind, in their thinking, in their imagination. They couldn't follow God. For you to be able to follow God, remember what he said, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. So, in following God, you're moving forward. And how are you going to be moving forward? Because you can hear what he says. Children of Israel could not move forward. They went backward in their thinking, in their mind. Why? Because they couldn't hear the voice of God. They want religion. And God said, I didn't ask you or your fathers to offer me burnt offering or sacrifices. I just told them, listen to me, then you move forward. So when you start hearing the voice of God, what happened? You're moving forward in your life. Praise God. So because they couldn't incline their ear to hear what I have to say, what happened? They went backward instead of moving forward. Think about that. Think about that. You just need to find out for yourself, are you really moving forward in life? Are you making progress in your Christianity, in your thinking? I mean, are you moving forward? Do you think you have any relationship? Are you progressing in your faith? Or you are moving backward? You can just be stagnated and still be thinking that, oh, come on, I'm worshiping God. As long as that singular factor is taken away from your life, that you can hear God, you're moving backward. That is why I keep saying it. Any ministry that cannot make you come to the place of hearing God for yourself is idolatry. It's backward movement. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? Progressive unveiling of your relationship with Christ come from you hearing what God has to say on a regular basis. Decision making, actions, you got to hear God. No matter how good it is, you got to hear God. Hallelujah. Some years back, which I think I'm still going to go back to do right now, at this stage, I used to keep a journal, dream journal. Every day when I wake up, I record my dreams. And I go back and study them and pray about them and interpret what the dreams are all about. Every day. I call it a dream journal. That's part of the way God speaks. Hallelujah. And I shared this with you some time ago because the Father graduated me from that because I was already thinking, okay, God is always speaking to me through dreams. So I had a dream journal. And anytime I feel or I just sense, okay, I need to get some revelation from God, it's like I go to bed. Then it got to a point, the Lord starts speaking to me. And then, like we always think, oh, maybe I have seen or something has happened, whatever the case may be. You know, when it seems not to be hearing the way you are taught about how God talks to you, and it's no longer coming that way. Oh, maybe I've seen or something. Or the Holy Ghost is no longer with me. No, Holy Ghost said forever is abiding with you. He can't leave you. It doesn't leave you. Leave you forever, he stays with you. Is that okay? He doesn't leave you. So what happened? The point is, that thing happened for almost like 2-3 weeks. And I was getting worried. And all of a sudden, this thing happened in Jankrama, where I was then. All of a sudden, I discovered I was walking the street and I was hearing God talk to me. And I was just wondering, so what is going on? It became a new dimension. Now, from that place, I discovered that I could see certain things. I'm walking in the street, I'm seeing some things ahead of me. Now, God was just trying to tell me, I don't want you to settle with the dream department or the dream aspect. Do you understand that? I shut it down so that I can upgrade you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. So, God, if I can sit with you, be discussing with you, and I'll be hearing voices, I've been seeing certain things, and it's still there today. It upgraded from that dimension. It makes you know that you are with God. It makes you know that God is with you. It reveals your true sonship. It gives you faith. That's the next thing I want to talk about. The benefit of hearing God is faith. You're going to have a lot of faith. That's number two factor. It speaks to us to give us faith and to act patient in and to our lives. Romans 10, 14, 17. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, then shall they call. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not yet believed? And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except there be saints? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our reports? Now this is talking about the Jews. So then faith, watch that, cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Did you get that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you are in trouble, when you are in certain situations that you seem not to be able to get out of, God has a way of talking to you in the midst of that situation so that he can be patient, knowing that he has a mind to always get you out of that situation. He will always get you out of the situation. Now, if the situation is so tough, merely hearing God will stabilize your faith that, of course, I'm going to get out of this situation. Do you understand what I mean now? No matter how bad the situation is, one of the things that gives you faith to endure it, to go through it, is the voice of God. No matter how bad. So sometimes when you're going through some things and people are doing certain things to you, whatever, just sit back and try to hear God talk to you. Because I always say, once you have an idol in your heart, don't expect God to talk to you. He's not going to talk to you. Because even if he's talking to you, you can't hear. If you're too busy in your imagination and conjectures, you can't hear when God is talking to you. You lose out. So when things are rough sometimes, just sit back. Sit back. Praise the living God. And allow him to talk to you. He will whisper to your ear. He'll give you simple instructions on the way to God. If you are truly a child of God, it's important you pay attention to hearing what God has to say at any particular time in your life. Follow the instructions of God. Remember what I read before in Jeremiah? It's not about religion. It's not about activities. It's about becoming one with him. I told you on Sunday. Jesus came to bring the warring factions together. I mean, if you remember that. When man fell, because he listened to another person's voice, which was a stranger, there was a separation. There was an enmity between our father and ourselves, or our forefather now, between God and Adam. Is that okay? And Jesus came to reconcile them. So what is the immediate thing that happens after reconciliation? The son can now speak to who? To the father. I've already told you this. If there was no fall, there wouldn't have been fivefold ministry. When you talk about apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers, all of these five ministries are just there because man fell. So they're acting like intermediary, like the role Jesus is playing or played in reconciling us to God. So any of this Bible ministry that can't raise you for you to hear your God is not doing the job. Because you really don't need any Bible ministry. You don't need me as a pastor. If only you have God as your father, what do you need me for? The reason why the Bible ministry is there. Can we read it? Let me show you something. Ephesians 4, verse number 11. It's because we lost the voice in Eden. That's why God gave us this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's growing up. Look at the next thing. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's all. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Knowledge of the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? Jesus Christ. Experiential knowledge of the Son of God. I told you before, bearing the point reveals your sonship. The Bible ministry brings you until you come to the knowledge of the Son of God, until a perfect man, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's all. There's the ministry of the Bible ministry. These are responsibilities. Who is the Son of God? The Christ. Who is the Christ? Christ is your life. Hallelujah. You know, in Matthew 16, remember the story, right? When Jesus said, who do men say that I am? One of the prophets. No. Okay. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art Christ. Who is the Son of God? The Christ. So who is the Christ? Christ is your life. Colossians 3, take it with me. Colossians 3, look at verse 3 and 4. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life. What's the next thing? When Christ, who is our life. Hallelujah. So when Peter said, thou art Christ, what was he saying? It was his own life that was revealed to him. Hallelujah. Who is our life shall appear, then shall we appear with him where in glory. Where is it? Within us. Christ is our life. Very simple. So when Peter said that Christ is a revelation of himself at the end of the day. And the Bible ministry must bring you to the revelation of your real self, which is the Christ. So we grow into the sight of the measure of Christ, the knowledge of the Son of God. So any ministry that can bring you to this experiential knowledge of the Son of God is not doing ministry. It goes back to offering and sacrifices, which I didn't ask your fathers to do, other than to hear my voice. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Praise God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The voice of God. Number three thing that this will do for you here in the void, reveal the laws of God in our hearts. Reveal the laws of God in our hearts. Amen. Praise God. You know, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, Paul was writing, and he was saying, the Gentiles who do not have law are a law unto themselves by the things which they see. Is that okay? Their conscience bearing them witness. So go with me now, Romans 12. Look at verse number... Let's read verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace upon me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but of things What is that? Soberly, according. Okay, let's go back to chapter 8. Let's look at chapter 8, verse number 1. I need you to think about two things there. Number one, we talk about the mind, the transformation of the mind. That enables you to walk soberly, not according to the world. Understand what I'm trying to say? Is that okay? Your mind has to be renewed. I'm trying to say, when you start hearing the voice of God, it communicates to you the will of God. Now you walk in obeying the law of God in your heart. So, the next thing he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Did you get that? Praise the Lord. Amen. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin condemned sin, where? In the flesh. But the verse 2 is a key point I really want you to take. You have the law of the flesh, you have the law of the Spirit. What's the law of the flesh? Law of the flesh, talking about the Jewish laws, basically. Now, the law of the Spirit is written where? In our hearts. It is the voice of God that communicates the laws of the Spirit into your heart through the Holy Ghost. Amen. So one of the major advantages that you finally begin to experience is that you'll be able to fulfill the laws of God, because they are now written where? In your heart. How is that happening? As you are hearing the voice of God. Praise God. You follow me? You know, Acts 16, Acts 22, Acts 9. You read this story, how when the Lord met Paul on the road to Damascus, the Bible said, when Paul was recounting his experience, and he said, I had the voice, but those that were with me, they never heard what God was speaking to me about. Do you remember that? He was walking with other people. But when the voice came, only Saul heard the voice. Others never heard anything. So you see, God communicates to us personally, based on our circumstance, based on our situation, based on what he wants to do with us. Now, as Paul began to hear the voice, he began to fulfill the law of the Spirit. Instead of being a Pharisee walking by the law of the flesh, he now begins to walk by the law of the Spirit. Because he can hear what Jesus let him do. So look at all the journeys. Jerusalem, go away from here. They have no testimony about me, no witness here. I want to go to Phrygia. No, go to Macedonia. You see what I'm saying? He began to fulfill what? The will of God. Why? Because we're hearing the voice of God. It's important, no matter who you are, whether you're a minister, whether you're a member, whatever you're supposed to be, the key point to pleasing God is what? Hearing his voice. When you start hearing his voice, you do his will. You do his will. Hallelujah. So it reveals the laws of God where? In our hearts. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 8. Look at verse 7. Number 4. It produces a heart change. Hebrews chapter 8. Okay. Let's read that for it. The first commandment have faultless, that will not look place sought for the second. Right? Go ahead. And he said, for finding fault with, he said, behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And he said, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my commandment, and I regarded not, saith the Lord. For this is the new commandment or covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws where? In their mind, and write them where? In their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me what? A people. This hearing the voice of God. So it produces a heart change. Apart from revealing the laws of God in your heart, number four, it produces a heart change. Because here you're going to have a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. Hallelujah. You're going to have a heart of flesh and not the heart of stones. Get it right. That's why I told them in the book of Jeremiah, I'm going to take away from you the heart of flesh. I mean the heart of stone, and give you what? The heart of flesh. It takes the heart of flesh to obey the voice of God. To walk in the ways of God, you need the heart of flesh. And that is the new covenant that God has made. And that's why I say, my sheep hear my voice. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're not receiving a new heart, which is the heart of flesh, that will enable you to obey the voice of God. So now the laws of God that you are obeying, they are no longer external. It's not something you have to reference. It is something that comes from within you. Anytime, if you are hearing the voice, you walk in consonant with that which is written in the tablet of your heart, not tablet of stones. That's what hearing the voice does. It produces a new heart, or a heart change. You have a new heart. From the heart of stone to the heart of flesh. The heart of stone, you can receive the laws. What happened? They are written externally. The heart of flesh, they are written within your heart and your mind. So now, with your mind, like we read before in Romans 12, you cannot walk to please the world. You now walk to please the Father. Then Romans chapter 8, like we said, you are now obeying the law of the Spirit and not the law of the flesh. Are you getting that? This is hearing the voice. What do we do for you? If you change your heart from the heart of stone to the heart of flesh, by implication, if you were one who was not able to really follow God, a new thing comes when you start hearing the voice that you'll be able to follow. Amen? No matter how stubborn your heart is, when you start hearing the voice of God, there will be a radical change in your heart. Praise the living God. Amen? Okay. Let me take this one today and then perhaps we close. Almost time. Okay, go ahead. Jeremiah 33, verse number 3. Number 5, it gives you direction as to what you're hearing. What you're hearing gives you direction. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You can take it from another translation. Jeremiah 33, verse number 3. You have another translation, fine. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. When you start hearing God, you start receiving instructions on the things that you do not know, especially when you're praying. Is that okay? Revelations of the things you don't know comes to you as you start hearing Him when you're praying. So if you're praying and you are not getting anything, I would say it's not because you don't have faith. Because faith can only come by hearing. Is that okay? Yeah. So the thing is, you've not really contacted or you've not come to this experience that we're talking about, where you can truly pray and talk to God and God talks to you. I've already told you this. Prayer is a two-way communication. You talk to God, God talks back to you. You don't just talk to God and go away. You're talking to God, God must talk back to you. Amen? That is prayer. So it's not just ranting. No. You do it like... I'm not abusing Roman Catholic, but you do it like you can't beat and then, or like the Muslims. You're not getting any feedback. You're not getting any feedback. But there has to be a feedback. That's why prayer is communication. You're talking to God, God talking back to you. It's a call upon me. I will answer. I will show you. You don't call you. I mean, in terms of answering, he's showing you. You have to know something. When you pray, you have to know something. Praise God. It's not just about praying. You pray to know something. You pray to get answer to what you're praying for and about. If you can get it instantly, live there. Just because you prayed, watch out for it. It will come. Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets. Hallelujah. You do not know about things to come. In hearing the voice, you see things that you do not know. The things that are to come, you see them in hearing the voice. Hallelujah. Praise God. I told you the story here the last time. 1990, when I told you the Lord was calling me into ministry, and I said, no. I know that anybody that preaches the Bible is called a pastor. But at the same time, I also know that there are five for ministry there. Pastor, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers, and whatever. Is that okay? Then I asked the question, who am I? It was simple. Can you tell me who I am? Praise God. I mean, and that just so. I mean, there was no anything. And remember, I told you I was kneeling down on my table in the village at Yedid Inn. All of a sudden, I saw from the wall, literally, that's why I have to believe the book of Daniel when the writing came on the wall and said, Mene, Mene, take all fasten. How many of you remember that story? Practical. The thing came out with a ball pen on my table and wrote down 2 Timothy 1:11. And I took my Bible and I opened it and said, I, Paul, call as a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. I knew exactly what God called me to be even before I went into ministry. Now, this is Jeremiah 3 telling us the same thing. You call upon me, I will answer you. I will show you things that you do not know. That is prayer. And that is hearing the voice. So having that. Now one thing. Help me, Jesus. Having had the voice engineers you to fulfill what the voice came for in your life. And I want you to listen to this, very important. If God speaks to you, he enables you to do what he instructed you to do, even if you don't have grace for it, or because you have spoken, grace is released. Are you following this? If you can hear him tell you something, if the thing looks so impossible, but because he spoke to you about it, he's going to engineer you to fulfill that thing that he spoke to you about. Praise the Lord. And this is very important. This is very important. That you know how to listen and to hear what God has to say. I told you the other time when he told Peter, come. What happened to Peter? Peter walked on water because he said, come. You remember that? So the voice enables you to do what ordinarily you could not do. Anytime. Praise God. It empowers you, it strengthens you, it shows you things that ordinarily you cannot know merely thinking about them or imagining them. The voice of God gives you the transformation. Final word for tonight. Exodus 23 verse 20. I read it, I think, on Sunday. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Talking of benefit of hearing the voice. Behold, like, what is that? 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee unto the place which I have prepared. And he said, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary unto what? Thy adversary. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the what? The Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will call them off. Hallelujah. Praise God. What happened? I will call them off. That means your destination, the very place God has for you, no matter how many enemies are there, just obeying the voice, you're going to conquer those enemies. He's going before you to take care. Just obey and follow instruction. Did you get that? So there is no enemy so strong that cannot be conquered if only you can hear the voice. It's not there anywhere. So all those things, oh, why enemy shot my style, why enemy took my key, why enemy deception. If any door is shut against you, it was not the door God already opened for you. For I will open the door no man can shut. Do you remember that? Praise the living God. Are we still here together? This is very crucial. Obey the voice, I take care of the enemies. So no matter what, even if it's a prophecy that has come as touching your destiny, where you are supposed to go, somebody wants to hinder you, what is God saying about that? That's what matters. Because whatever thing God says, even if there are enemies there, you're surely going to be able to overcome them. He goes before you because he spoke. Get this right. He is going to make sure the children of Israel possess the land because he promised them the land. Not because they were able to go there by their own strength, but the word they have spoken must come to pass. Since he said, I'm giving you the land, there is nothing anybody can do. He weakens the people that were occupying those land before the children of Israel ever gets there. How is that going to be? Obey my voice. Not because of your strength, obey my voice. Not because of the powers and weapons you have, obey my voice. If only you can obey my voice, I take you to the promised land. I'll disarm all of the seven wicked powers that are in that place. If you can't define, there are seven wicked spirits. And these are the same thing Jesus was speaking to. People don't understand in the book of Matthew chapter 12. So when the devil is cast off a man, he goes around and he comes back with seven more wicked spirits. He was alleging to this seven nation that was in the land of Canaan. What he was telling them is, since you reject me, which is not the voice of God, the Son of God, you're going to have seven more wicked enemies coming to this land, dispossess you of this land. Hallelujah. Otherwise, why do you think you have to be seven more wicked spirits? Tell me, why must the spirit be seven? Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So this is exactly what Jesus is saying. The voice will dispossess your enemies. You don't have any cause to be worried about anything. You only need to be worried about hearing the voice of God. And even you don't even have to be anxious about hearing the voice, because God is always speaking, except that you don't know. So this message helps you to know when God is talking. and then you step into it, no enemy can dispossess you of your land. If God said this land is yours. Hallelujah. And so this land is given to us. And what happened? We got the land. Praise God. When God says it, remember we're praying one of the Friday meetings, and God said, look at the land, I've given it to you. It was the Friday service. And I told you, God is giving us this land. So what happened? Now we got the land. No matter how strong the people are, no matter how commissioners, ex-commissioners wanted to get the land, they couldn't. Why? God said, that is your land. And the last time the man called me, was talking to me in Lagos, I told him something. I said, listen to me. You're trying to act like Jezebel and Ahab to take the land of Naboth. I said, but that's not going to happen except God permits you. He said, that what you mean? I said, that's exactly what I mean. That was the last conversation. And when we came here praying, the Lord said, I'll give you the land. Now we got it. If God said, go and get it, just go get it. No matter the kind of enemies there, it's all yours. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.